We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all glory, how honored we are that you would come to us. For if you are not in this place, then there is no purpose for us to be here. But you are. You come to us through your word and sacraments that we might be the children of God and might be lifted up out of this world of sin and be washed clean to be the children of God. What blessings you have in store for us. And so, Heavenly Father, bless us and enrich us that we might bring glory to your name for time and for all eternity. In Christ our Savior. Amen. Isaac and Rebekah had a house that was a powder keg, ready to explode. Murder was walking in the front door of this sad little family. Run, Jacob. Run as fast as you can out the back door. Take off and go to your uncle Laban's house. Stay there. There you will be out of reach of your brother Esau, who wants to kill you. Find a wife there, Jacob, from the Israelites, not like the Canaanite women around here. So Jacob ran. He climbed up the top of a mountain. A dark and strange night was encasing him all around. With dirt in his sandals and sweat on his forebrow, he laid down for the night. From that vantage point, he could look down one side of the mountain and see the direction of his father's home and wondered whether he would ever see or hug his father or mother ever again. In the opposite direction, he could look down to where he had to go to find Laban's house. Would he find a home with his uncle, or would Laban disown him? Family dysfunction carries bitter consequences. Jacob was realizing that. Jacob had stopped for the night. He laid down to get some rest and looked up at the millions of stars above him. I wonder, did he blame his brother now that he was on the run, or did he blame himself? Was he already getting homesick, or was he happy to be out of that crazy house and on his own? As he laid there and looked at the stars, was he hopping mad or shaking in fear? Or maybe crying tears of guilt as he closed his eyes to sleep? I'm surprised he was able to sleep at all. But Jacob could never have anticipated what was about to happen next. Jesus broke through the darkness of that night and the darkness of his life and revealed himself to Jacob in a glorious vision. How spectacular it would be if this Lenten season we all together had one great big vision of Jesus in heaven. Wouldn't that be something? Or would that be too much to ask? Let's pray for the Lord to break through the darkness of our night and the darkness of our lives and reveal himself. Jesus, make your face shine on us. Moses records that Jacob was afraid. I imagine he was. It is breathtaking for us to sit out and look at the Milky Way, all the stars up in the sky, takes our breath away. But for sinful humans to see beyond that curtain of stars, for our eyes to actually set on heaven's glory and the face of God. Oh, that is terrifying. At that very moment of Jacob's life, when he was a sinner on the run, to see glorious Jesus here with his own eyes, I would imagine that probably made all the evil of his tricks, his deception, his lies, rise to the surface of his consciousness and plague him. He had pretended to be his brother in order to trick his father into giving him the blessing that was supposed to go to Esau. Instead of leaving his life in God's hands, he conned his father in so he could steal his brother's blessing. He hurt them, all to get what he wanted. His sin tore his family apart. Would his sin now bring God's judgment down on him? Was God appearing to him in this dream in order to destroy Jacob in his holy wrath? As we pray this Lenten season, Jesus, make your face shine upon us. We may want to add to that prayer, shine on us, not in judgment. Just as our world stands ripe for judgment, so also our hands are soiled with the sins of our soul. America is reeling from the consequences of living in a warped and depraved egotism. But do we squirm and turn on our beds at night with a guilty conscience? Have we burned others with the hot poker of our words? Or have we beat them up with the fists of our anger? Or have we abandoned those we claim to love with cold hearts of apathy? We hear this Lenten season how we are to live pure lives, and then we go home. And are we consumed with internal fires of lust and greed and discontent and revenge? Paul, in today's reading to the Romans, reminds us that God is coming in wrath. There is that day appointed. And he describes us that by nature we're powerless sinners who are ungodly enemies of the Most High. Maybe we should be careful what we pray for this Lenten season. Do we really want Jesus to make his face shine on us? If he came, would we be destroyed in his judgment? Immediately, Jesus relieved Jacob's fears. He had torn open the sky and revealed heaven's glory, not to judge Jacob. No, Jesus made his face shine on Jacob in grace. Jacob saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to the heavens, and the angels of God ascending and descending on it. A stairway stretching from earth to heaven. Angels were going back and forth. There was no brick wall or barbed wire fence keeping Jacob out. There was no Grand Canyon or angels with flaming swords posted like at the Garden of Eden, saying, "You will never come here." In Jacob's lowest and darkest moments, Jesus reassured him face to face that this land would be given to him and his descendants, that his descendants would be as many as the dirt on the ground. that Jesus himself would go with Jacob everywhere he went and bring him back here, and all the people of the world would be blessed through the Savior that would be born to Israel. He who deserved nothing but punishment was now blessed. Blessed with God's pure grace, spoken on his head from none other than God himself. Jacob was forever changed, a changed man from this very moment on, as Jesus made his face shine on him in grace. Wouldn't it be wonderful if instead of our triptych and the crucifix and that window way up there, if instead we had Jacob's vision, a stairway coming down from heaven, and it could rest on the chancel steps here and go all the way up into heaven, and we could see angels coming down to earth and returning back again, and just how they do that. And there at the top of the stairwell would be none other than Jesus himself. Now, wouldn't that be something to behold? What would Jesus tell us then? Well, when Jesus talked to Jacob, he blessed him with a blessing he had given to Abraham. And so Jesus would bless us with a blessing he gave the Apostle Paul to describe to the Romans. While we were still ungodly, powerless sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates his own love for us. At just the right time, Jesus came down those steps and was born into this world as a small little baby. He lived wholly innocent, and died the cursed sinner for us and for all people. Paul goes on, we have been justified by his blood. We are now saved from God's wrath. Through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. We already stand all day, every day, in the forgiving grace of our Savior. We are the children of God. He has opened up the stairway of heaven to us, and he has promised that he is with us wherever we go. And he will take us to be with him in glory everlasting. Jacob woke up totally amazed. Surely this, the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate to heaven. Jacob was not aware that the Lord was in that place until Jesus revealed himself to him. Jesus made his face shine to Jacob in glory. Many people had walked over that mountain and were not aware of the Lord's presence. Many people today travel there as tourists and don't have a clue that God walked on the earth in this place. Is God in this place, right here with us now? Do we detect his presence? Oh, if we were to have a vision of a stairway stretching up into heaven, oh, then we'd say, yes, yes, the Lord has revealed himself. We have seen it with our own eyes, and it is awesome. Jesus, make your face shine on us in glory. Many people see this place here as just another church building. But this is where God reveals himself in all of his glory. Here he speaks to us through his divine word. Here we receive Christ's true body and blood, once given on the cross, but now received in the Lord's Supper. Here the Holy Spirit washes our souls clean in the font of holy baptism. Jacob would have loved to enjoy what we have each and every week, to continually sit in the presence of our Savior Jesus and enjoy his word and sacraments. Here in this place, Jesus reveals his presence and we meet our God just as surely as Jacob met with Jesus on that mountain. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate to heaven. In this place, God has poured out his love into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. Here we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This world is a powder keg. Murder, lust, greed, and violence are permanent intruders in this sad family of humans. Run. Run into the arms of our Savior. Look for his face to shine upon you. When his face shines on us, we are his. We are under his forgiveness, protection, blessing. We have made it. This Lenten season, and all throughout the year, we come here to this place to meet with our Savior. Jesus, make your face shine on us. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all grace and blessing, be with us in this hour, in every hour, our entire life. Draw us ever closer to you in the good days and bad days through your powerful word and sacraments. Help us to walk with you, in communion with you and your Spirit, that we might rejoice that you are our ever-present Savior. Bless us now and forever to your glory. In Christ our Savior. Amen.